This recording is a production of Faith Builders Educational Programs. This presentation was recorded at REACH 2015, a conservative Anabaptist ministry convention hosted by Faith Builders on March 19 and 20, 2015.
I will introduce the panel members and then allow them to take it where they want to go. We have Alan Roth. He says he is the lead gopher with Destinations International. Next one, Eugene Weaver. Administrator of Olive Branch Mennonite Missions, followed by Ivan Beachy, Secretary Treasurer of Amish Mennonite Aid, and Emmanuel Esch, Director of Charity Christian Mission. And again, welcome here. Glad you are here. For those who just entered, I'll give you a small piece of paper. Write a question on it that you would like the board members or these panel members to engage with later.
Is this recorder on now? Okay. Well, welcome, and in case you're wondering, this session is encouraging people in the field, and if you made a mistake and this is not for you, we will not be offended if you go to the workshop of your choice, but we're happy that you're here. And the description is, missionaries often face discouragement. How can we encourage them, thus enhancing their ministries and their potential for long-term service? So in this workshop, the first panelist to share is Emmanuel Esch, to my left. And then following him in order, filling in any cracks that he left, will be Eugene, and then myself, with Ivan being the dessert to come up at the very end, okay? So after that, in the meantime, after Emmanuel's done, we'll collect your questions. And we'll sort them out according to topic and give them to each panelist. And when the fourth panelist has spoken, then we'll start to address those questions. If we get far enough along, we'll give you opportunity for questions from the floor. All right? That's our procedure. So, Emmanuel, if you'll start us off with what God's laid on your heart.
I'd like to stand by and teach, preach. May I do that?
You may.
What is some of the most discouraging things for missionaries that you know of? So you maybe have been missionaries, or you are, or you're the board. What really discourages missionaries?
Loneliness.
Loneliness. Good.
Lack of contact from home.
Lack of contact from home.
Readjusting to the culture back home.
Readjusting culture back home when it comes back home. We're going to address that. The next of our panel discussion is going to actually focus on that one. There's good things. One of the things I put down here is internal conflict. Either on the field or, what if it's a conflict at home? Does that affect the missionaries? Absolutely. Second thing I put down is misunderstanding between field, board, support, and so forth. Those are probably some of the biggest things I have. I would like to point you to God's Word for some answers here, or some ideas. In Acts chapter 4, we have these words. It was in the midst of the revival in Jerusalem. They were selling their properties and giving the money, laying it down at the apostles' feet. And it said there was a young man whose name was Joseph, in Acts 4, verse 36, who by the apostles was surnamed, or nicknamed. We use nicknames, don't we? They nicknamed him and called him the Son of Consolation, which means the Son of Encouragement. So Barnabas is an encourager. His God-given calling in ministry, as I see it, as I study his life, and I encourage you to do that, study Barnabas' life in the light of encouragement, and you will see that he was an encourager. One of the prerequisites to be an encourager to the missionaries is to do what he did. Having land, sold it, brought the money, laid it at the apostles' feet. Sold out. He became a very useful vessel. What would it be? What would happen with a Paul if he wouldn't have had a Barnabas to encourage him? Encouragers are so vital, so very important. Barnabas, he's the one who discipled Paul. Paul got converted on the Damascus Road, came back to Jerusalem, and the other apostles didn't accept him. They didn't believe he's a real Christian. Barnabas took him, brought him to the apostles, declared to them how he had seen the Lord the way, and then they could accept him. Later on, Paul was sent to Tarsus. Get out of here, he's too much of a radical in Jerusalem. Barnabas, who had a heart for encouragement and building up the team, he went and brought Paul back to Antioch and discipled him for a while there. Then when it was time for them to go to the mission field, the Holy Spirit called forth Barnabas and Saul. And the Holy, and it's written here, separate me, Barnabas and Saul. And the next, and as you continue studying Barnabas' life, you will see that Barnabas and Saul went. Barnabas and Saul preached. And after a bit, it changes to Saul or Paul and Barnabas. And Paul and Barnabas. Paul had an encourager by his side. It makes a difference. How can we encourage the missionaries? How can I be an encourager to them? How can I come alongside and lift up their hands in the midst of difficulty and trial? What I have here is just a few things jotted down. Communication, vital, very important. Trust between the board and the missionaries. Between the missionaries and missionaries. All those things, between the board and the support church at home. How do we really hear them? One of the challenges that I have sensed, and I've picked up on this, is that the missionaries don't really feel clear to just open their heart freely to the board member who comes to visit. Unless there's already a good established relationship and they can feel free to really share their hearts. Even then, there's hesitancy. And so I'm going to illustrate something here that we have done, found to be very, very inspiring and good, to where it really blessed the missionaries. And I've asked Eugene to put this up here. How many of you ever heard of SWOT, the acronym S-W-O-T? A few of you? We did this for a business. This is a business concept that a business can take this and do this with their employees, and it builds relationships, and it builds ownership in the hearts of the employees. And so we've done that for a business, and this S stands for strengths, and the W is for weakness, and he's got an O there for opportunities, and then a T over here for threats. And so we did this for our missionaries. We went there and had a retreat where all the missionaries gathered together on the field, and went there, and we had this time, we take a stack of paper and some pens, and we take a bunch of tape, and we invite the missionaries to come up here, and take the pen and write one thing on a piece of paper. They might write a strength down that they see of the mission general. They might write down a weakness, and they take a paper and they paste it over there under the weaknesses. They put the opportunities they see over here, and they put the threats they have towards the mission over here. That enables the missionaries to open their hearts and put things on paper and put it up there without feeling like they're being pointed at. And so once an hour or so goes past, and this is really fun. I mean, the missionary children, they loved it. Some of the weakness that the missionary children put down was like, no church friends, or we don't go to church very often. They're living out in the bush. And so it was just really good. It helped me as a board member to really see the needs. How can I really encourage them unless I know the real deep needs that are in their heart? And once they're all up there, and the whole wall is plastered with this thing, then we talk about it. What did you mean when you put up this, or who put this one up here about the field over there? And someone said, I put it up there, and this is what I meant. And you just walk through that, and we spent a day doing that. Very encouraging missionaries. The missionaries said, we feel like you have finally heard our heart. We feel like we've finally been able to share our heart in a way that you can hear. That was so much fun. That is one thing that I would recommend you could do. It brings ownership. One more thing that we did there also is we also recognize that stress, there's a lot of problems in mission fields causing stress. We did the same thing a day later on stressors. Write down all the stresses that you go through. I mean, they plastered the wall again. That was a turning point in the lives of one of our missionary families whose wife was sick and tired. From that day going, her health turned around. I know God was helping us. So I'm going to pass it on to the next ones here. Just some thoughts. How can we encourage missionaries?
Did you get the feel that Emmanuel's passionate about this? I did. Okay. Talk to us, Eugene.
Encouraging people on the field.
Excuse me. Yes, please pass your questions to the aisle. Thank you, Kevin. And he'll pick them up, and we'll begin to sort them out according to theme and who is going to answer what. And remember, it should be on this topic, encouraging people in the field. Yes, Eugene.
Encouraging staff on the field is a tremendous challenge for anyone that's served on a board. I'm just curious, how many missionary or mission board members do we have here, or people that work with missionaries on the field? Great, okay. And when there's discouraged staff or problems in relationship as a board member, if I know that there's a problem on the field between two people, or just a situation that's causing grief, stress on the field, and we need to make a deputation visit, a board visit, it's just not as much fun as when everybody's happy, when everybody's doing well, and everybody's working together. It's a joy to visit the fields when everybody's working together. And so we want to, when we visit the fields, it's always our goal to be an encouragement to them. Board deputations. But I think it needs to start before that, having a good relationship with them and preparing them to go. I feel like when I relate to staff, learn to know them as much as I can before they even get to the field. That way when we get to the field, we have an openness there. We can talk. And that goes for whether it's pastors, business people, or business administrators, or school teachers. Doesn't matter who it is. We can and want to be an encouragement to them. Missionaries need to know that the board cares about them and cares about what they're doing. And I think when one of the ways that really encourages staff is when we go there and we're not just thinking about spending time with them, but also getting out in the field with the people, those that they're ministering to, walking alongside of the missionary and visiting those that they're ministering with. And it's real easy when you can speak their language. When we visit Nicaragua, it's not as easy because we don't speak Spanish. But then we use an interpreter and it just goes a little slower. But we still try and do that, still try and bless them and encourage them as they work together. It's work. Visits from home, I think, are good too. We were on both sides. I served as a missionary. I also served as a board member. And so I know what it's like when visitors come and the encouragement that they can be. I personally feel very strong that when visitors come to the field, at least it's my encouragement to encourage the missionaries. It's my challenge to encourage the missionary. When you get visitors, include them in your ministry. Take them along. Don't stop ministry and say, well, you're coming to visit, we're going on vacation now. No. Include them. They need to know what you're doing so they know how to pray for you. And when they go back, especially if it's someone from their home church, they can go back and report that this is what our brother, our sister is doing. These are the people they're meeting. And here's some prayer requests. You know how to pray for them. I think that's very, very important. Taking time to visit the field. Taking time to learn a little bit about the culture that your church member or your missionary from your congregation or family is working with. Taking time to work with them. Both, whether it's board or from home, should be an encouragement, and take time to also hear the heart of the missionary, to hear them out. Try and get them to share with you the concerns, the challenges, the frustrations, the things that they're facing, because life is real, and they're working with people, and people are the same the world over. And so to hear the missionary's heart is so important. And then to spend time in prayer with them. Praying with them is vital. Another thing that I think is important, sometimes when people visit the field, they don't want to eat the strange food, maybe. And missionaries have to learn enjoying the food that people in that culture, depending where it is, that they eat. I can remember needing to learn to eat some food that I didn't really care for. But if you're not careful, if you say absolutely no, I won't do that, you need to be careful or you're going to offend them. And so as I think we need to encourage our people, try it. Try to learn to eat what the people that you're ministering to eat, and you'll learn to enjoy it. You do it often enough. So yeah, it's very important to be an encouragement to the missionaries. I think that's all I got, Alan.
Thank you, Eman. Eugene, I'm going to give you my email address so that if there are any items that I refer to, you can just send me an email and ask for them. It's destinations, plural, destinations, INT, for international, at gmail.com. And at our display table, there are cards that you can pick up and take along with you that will have that. We have a website, and so some of this stuff is downloadable for you. Someone has said like this, discouragement is the handle that fits all of the devil's tools. And so this is just normal, it's regular, it comes over and over to workers on the field, just like it does to us here at home. One of the things that we do, my assistant, every 2 weeks we send out a thing that we call e-notes. And e-notes includes a devotional meditation written by one of the missionaries. It includes some wise words from a book on evangelism. Quotes of great Christians down through the ages, an anecdote of witnessing from somebody, as well as missions news from DNI, just to help the workers scattered around the world in about 8 or 10 different locations to be able to have a feel that we're part of something bigger than ourselves. And if you'd like to be included on that list, just send me your request. We have been encouraging our teams to write up an MOU, Memo of Understanding. And a memo of understanding is a document that a team develops at their location. What are the things that are unique to their area? What is their vision for their area? What are some of the considerations that should be kept in mind, like say in a Muslim country, how women should act there in a male-centered society or how they should dress? What about Bible versions that's acceptable? Certain language that's acceptable or unacceptable in that location. So an MOU can be very useful, not only for bringing clarity to the team, but also in recruitment. This past year, we picked this up from another mission, a non-Anabaptist mission, but we have started asking all of the workers to fill out a roles and goals sheet individually, both the husband, the wife, and the singles. What is my vision? How does it fit with the bigger vision? What are my roles? And what are my specific steps to reach those goals? And one of the reasons that missionaries get discouraged is that they have this overwhelming need all around them, and what do you do? Everybody needs something. And so that can bring a lot of discouragement. We find this as being helpful to bring more clarity as to what missionaries are about. The prayer, and we hear this often, but when I visit the missionaries, and you can do this even though you don't visit them, ask them for their prayer requests. Remember how Paul said, I make mention of you always? Well, it can be as simple as, Lord, remember that Charlene wants to make another lady Muslim friend. And I just put a little mark there, and I keep making my little marks as I make mention of that. And I can't make mention of all of them every day, but I just keep working through my list, and then I come back around, and I remember this last year when I asked Charlene about a previous request. She said, she had said, pray that I'll enjoy teaching my children. So I did, and this last year I asked her, Marlene, how, remember a year ago you had asked me to pray for this? Oh, she said, I forgot that I even asked you that. I've been enjoying it so much this past year. And so that was an encouragement to her. It was an encouragement to me, making mention. And this is a very simple little thing. When people send you their emails or their email newsletters, you know there's that button that starts with R? What is it? Just click the reply. You don't have to reply to the whole thing. Just say, I got your newsletter. I really enjoyed it. I'm praying for you. And that lets them know that their stuff isn't dropping into a cyber black hole somewhere in cyberspace. Mm-hmm. That people really are at the other end, because silence tends to communicate what?
Nothing.
Nothing? You don't care? Disconnect. Or even rejection?
Disconnect.
Disconnect. And so that's something very simple. Maybe in your church, there is someone who, you know what the budget is? Does anybody know what the budget is? Okay. Well, maybe there's some budget writer, somebody like that in your church that will just keep the missionaries updated on the local news. But it has to be a person that's not a gossip, right? You have to be careful about that. Send them your church bulletins or maybe the minutes of the members' meetings. But you need to make sure that if it's a creative access country, that your language is appropriate so it doesn't put them in danger. Another thing that we have been doing is giving each of our missionaries who sign up for 3 years or more, we give them, we have a book of the year. And we give that to them as a gift. And then those who have children, we give them a missionary biography. You know that series, they're brown, sort of brown, and there's about this many of them on the shelf. Each year we choose one of those to give to each family. And so when we make our visit, we take that along with us. And just to encourage them, we've bumped up a little bit by saying, now this year when we visit you, we're going to ask you your comments about the book of the year, just to make sure that they're getting read. But a way to keep encouraging and nurturing our missionaries in their ongoing growth. We've also found it important that if missionaries are going to remain encouraged on the field, it is going to be to the degree they really connect with local people and make local friends. That will help keep them there as long as about anything, because then they don't want to leave their friends, right? And so, but for that to happen, they must study what? Language. They must study it long. They must be lifelong language learners. Language learning costs what?
Time.
And?
Money.
Money. And we like things cheap and quick. Language doesn't come that way. So we're going to have to put some money out there so that they can study language. We may need to make available either that they can hire a local person or send a young lady to be a nanny for them to make it possible for the missionary lady to study language. Because if she doesn't, and she wants to go home, one day her husband's going to be discouraged. When they go to sleep that night, she'll say, honey, I've just been thinking. I think we ought to go home. And he'll say, I've been feeling like that too. Away they go. Because they didn't learn the language well. Folks, we've got to make this a priority. How are the locals going to really believe that we love them and enter into meaningful friendship, the bridge over which the gospel can travel, if we can't talk well? Mm-hmm. Enough of my spiel. let's hear Ivan give us the dessert.
Well, I think we had the dessert. So maybe a cup of coffee or something we do. I really appreciated the comments. One of the things I've been thinking about is the need for the board to be visible. And someone that is known to the people on the field. And that's one of the reasons that boards take trips to the field. In our mission, we do that every year. We go by twos, and it's a lovely time. And we hear feedback from the staff saying, this is what we look forward to all year. And so it's important that the board doesn't only show up at times of difficulty, but we come for the sole purpose of encouraging them. One of the things we like to do at that time is spend time with each family, with each single, and we like to take them out for a special meal at a restaurant. And would you know, just recently we were on delegation and we came to one place and I said, we'd love to take you out for supper. And the husband said, why would I spend 30 minutes driving through terrible traffic to go eat somewhere else when I can have a delicious meal at home? I said, well, it's your choice. We're offering it, it's not an obligation. But I was thinking about his wife, wondering, how would she feel about that? Then I heard that a visitor had the same kind of experience, and he then left money there and said, this is for your wife when she decides to take you out for supper. I think that's a great idea.
Great
idea. So those things are very meaningful. And one of the experiences we had on our last delegation is sitting down at a Pizza Hut and just having an informal time, and it morphed into a powerful time of opening hearts when they could just, in a relaxed setting, share their heart. So. I think it's very important.
Go ahead.
There's also, we've just recently started this, where each board member takes responsibility to contact the workers in a particular country on a weekly basis or twice a month or monthly, whatever it's not set in concrete. They can do it at their own choosing. But it's to send those words of encouragement, little tidbits, verses that were inspirational, stories, anything. Very similar to what Brother Allen was suggesting. And the feedback from that is, we love it. It's so encouraging to have that kind of feedback and input into our life. There's also the need at times for pastors to have a pastor for them. We're finding that particularly in the field in Kenya, where our pastors are overloaded and they're facing tremendous pressures, and sometimes three steps forward results in two steps backward, and they're feeling, wow, is this going to work? Are we going to get anywhere? And so we're arranging to annually send a pastor to pastor the pastors, and that's taking them to a retreat center, just having time of inspirational teaching, open discussion, talk about issues, and we're finding it's a tremendous, valuable piece. There's also the time when there's traumatic events on the field, and what are you going to do with that? We've had a number of those. I remember being in the office, I was chairman of the board at the time, being in the office, getting the call from Kenya saying, two of our missionaries have been attacked in a mob, their vehicle is burning, we're not sure if they're alive. That's a helpless feeling. I wasn't sure what to do. All I could do was pray, God, can you spare these people? One of those young men was my nephew, of course. It was very close to my heart. But we kept in touch throughout the day as best we could, and as the story unfolded. But after the event, the people involved were traumatized. And we realized, this is going to take something special. So we said, please, take a number of days off, go find a retreat that's encouraging to you, a place where you can rest. It's on the mission's expense, go. Just very recently, we had another event in Kenya also, where some hoodlums came into the compound where missionaries are living. there was a Norwegian gentleman in the compound that's also a missionary. He was murdered in cold blood. Mm. Our missionary saw it. Their children saw it. They were traumatized. What do we do? We figured out that there is a way we could send someone over, and there was someone ready to go, and we sent them over for a week. And we told them, take the staff, go to a retreat, someplace where they can get away from the trauma and just massage their hearts. It's expensive, but it is well worth the investment. Thank you.
So was that the dessert or the cup of coffee? Which do you think it was? How many think it was the dessert? Okay. All right. Emmanuel, start us off with the next round of questions.
Okay, I'll be brief here. One question here that came, I'm going to push this one back until our later one this afternoon. That's about why is the heart missionary to adjust when they go home? Our next panel discussion is on reentry, and we'll wait to answer that one till then. First question here is, how can I encourage my friends from the mission field in ways that go beyond writing letters? What are some strategies for connecting a home church? How can I encourage missionaries as a personal, a person who's at home? One thing was already talked about here was to have someone in the congregation who writes the missionaries weekly about the happenings at home. We have one in our congregation who does that. The missionaries are just so delighted. They talk about that again and again and again. That person is encouraging them continually by that. One of the things that we do is we have some others in our congregation who are very much involved in their hearts in the work. They're not necessarily on the board. But one of them has taken upon himself to, on the back of the church by the table back there, he has slots for each missionary family. And in each slot he has letters which are addressed letters and stamped for the missionaries for that field in that country. And anybody in the congregation could back and pull out a letter and take that home. It's already addressed, it's already stamped, and ready to go. And they continue to keep all those slots full of that. When you think about writing a missionary, there's two things that stand in the way. One is I don't have the address in front of me, the other is I don't know how much postage it costs, so I don't ever do it. Right? That's one way that we've found works. The missionaries love it.
Thank you. Eugene?
Question I have here, how can a church encourage its families with young children to consider the mission field and an option for them? How can they be motivated and supported through the step of taking their first plunge? How can a church encourage its families and young children to consider the mission field? I think when I didn't experience this as a child, but my wife talks about it, growing up and hearing stories from returned missionaries, whether it was Bible school or Sunday school, using a flannel graph, missionary using a flannel graph, telling the children Bible stories and tying that into the mission field. That was something that always left an impression on her mind. I think of a neighbor of mine when I was just a young teenager who left an impression on me. He was called into 1W service for younger ones, I'm not sure what the name would be today. He was drafted, and he went to a children's home. And when he came back after his 2 years, he just befriended me as a neighbor boy there, and I drew very close to him. Years later, as we grew together, learned to know each other, he took me along to Sunday school sometimes. I didn't grow up with that. Took me along to Bible school. He just left a tremendous message on my heart, and through him, missions has become something that was instilled in my heart. I never told him that until just a few years ago I met him. And I said, you have no idea what for impression you left in my mind, in my life, for the lifestyle that you lived as a young person who was willing to go. Even though I didn't hear missionary stories, it was his lifestyle that spoke to me. So how can a church encourage its families and young children? I think when there are opportunities to have missionaries who are on furlough or return share with the congregation from time to time, I think can be a tremendous encouragement to them.
My question is, what is a good way to show missionaries the home church has not forgotten them? We've shared some already, but here's another one. There's a Beachy church in Kansas, and they have two couples with us. Every year, they have as a policy to make it possible for someone from the leadership team of their church to go and visit the missionaries they have sent out. That's amazing.
Good.
So that's something you could do in your church to help make it possible, at least to pay part of the way, for the someone off the leadership team to go visit them, because they still have pastoral needs and they're still members of your church. Another one would be to choose a young person in your church and send them along with when there's a board visit to that team. We took one, a young lady, she was like 16. We were negotiating our way through the airport, and I saw this girl is really alert. I said, Amberly, why don't you show us how to get to where we want to go? And she did a great job. She ended up eventually spending 3 years in Mexico, just come back, Amberly Fisher. But that would be another way. And you're encouraging the young people on the team, the children, plus you're planting seeds in this person's mind at the same time. It's a win-win. Of course, you know how to Skype. You can Skype now. Some missionaries have a stateside prefix, and you can call free and talk as long as you want to, and we tend to overlook that. I keep a list of the birthdays and anniversaries of missionaries, and so on their day I send them an email. And here's something to remember. If they have a death of a child, we just last year had a family that lost a baby, and to put that baby's name and birthday and death date in the list, and then email them and remind them, we're thinking about your little baby today that you buried in Thailand. There's another big thing nowadays is people going on short-term teams. Instead of spending all that money to send a group of people, help one of your people, one of your young people, to go and visit the missionary and spend a couple of days or a week or so with them. Ivan, your question?
The question is, how does a temporary volunteer relate to others' discouragement? Stay away from it? Good question. No, don't stay away from it. Find a way to get close to that person. Caregivers need caregivers. Some time ago, I was talking to a brother whose wife has a lot of handicaps, a lot of difficulties, and in the course of conversation, I asked him, and so how are you doing? And then he said, wow, I've never been asked that question. People always ask, how's my wife? And I thought, wow, you know, caregivers need caregivers. So missionaries, when they're facing discouragement, your focus might be, how's the work going? But ask them, but how are you doing? And then if you're sensing discouragement, be the Aaron and Hur that brings the rock, sets them down, you get under their arms and you pray for them, and you don't forget, but you send encouraging emails along the way. Say, is there something I can do from my distance? Thank you.
Do you have another question?
No, I'm ready for the floor.
Eugene, do you have another question?
No.
Okay. Do you have another one,
Tyler? It actually relates to tomorrow's.
Okay. I have one here. How can the missionary appropriately ask for encouragement when he is discouraged? One of the things I think is so important when we're going to visit missionaries is before we ever go there, pray, like Paul did in Romans 1, 8 to 10, that they could refresh one another and strengthen one another in the faith and impart some kind of spiritual gift to each other. It starts with prayer before you ever leave the country. Mm-hmm. That God will prepare the way and make the conversations happen. We've discovered that makes a huge difference. Then when you are there, and you are sharing with the missionary, ask, how can I pray for you? I'll give you a couple of my requests that I want you to pray for me. And then you share at a personal level yourself what you're struggling with, so the missionary knows it's safe. So he's not the only one that's got a problem. And the degree of your own honesty will set the stage for the degree that with which he will share if he feels safe. And so, and then just like Ivan illustrated, ask, well, how are you feeling? Well, how are you really feeling? Mm-hmm. How are you doing? Well, how are you really doing? I want to know. And then you pray together, pray for each other, and then take those requests home with you and pray. And later on, maybe a week, two, or a month or so, call him up or Skype him or email him and say, you know, you just mentioned this to me. I'm just checking in. How is that going with you? And he might be shocked that you still remember that. And she might say, my, she really did care for me. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Simple things. Much of life is in the simple things.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, now your questions from the floor. Or good suggestions you'd like to add to the collection that you've heard today. How long do we have yet, Kevin?
About 6 minutes.
6 minutes to go for it. Who will be first?
You mentioned having the envelopes in the back of the church. One thing we've done that's worked real well is we have pretty well the same idea, but we take that Sunday's bulletin, fold it, put it in an envelope, and then we put it in the offering baskets, so when they are passed, anyone wants to can lift it out. And then after they're to the back, if they haven't all been taken, then it's made known. There's still two envelopes left.
Okay.
And that works well for us.
Very good. So when the offering is passed, put in the offering baskets those envelopes that are to be sent out and allow people to pick them out as they put their offering in. I'm just repeating, not that you needed it to be repeated, but for the recording's sake. Okay, next idea or question? Both sides of the house?
How can school boards recognize that, you know, they give structure and help in for missionaries. How can school boards provide that without being overbearing and controlling and give the missionaries the freedom to do what they need to do on the mission field?
How can school boards help provide encouragement and structure without being micromanaging and overbearing? Who of us will take this one? Any takers here? Or anybody in the audience?
Did I say school board?
You said school board.
I'm sorry, I meant mission boards.
Mission boards. Well, now that's helpful. Okay.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
It just came back to me what you said.
Okay.
That's the question is?
Mission boards, I understand that you know, they provide structure for our missions. And we need that oversight. Missionaries need that oversight. And yet, I think sometimes our missionaries feel a little bit hampered or frustrated with the mission board, you know. I'm trying to do, you know, mission work, and yet the mission board says, well, you know, this is what we expect, or I want the reports, or I want this, we want this done, this, you know, you need to report back to these churches. That's important. How can they encourage or give structure without feeling overpowered?
How can mission boards give structure and encouragement without micromanaging and coming across as being controlling and manipulative?
Maybe just an idea that comes to mind now is when those kinds of things come to us, questions that actually belong on the field, our response is, well, from our distance, we don't have a good perspective. Could you get the input from your missionary friends and brethren? And we have said repeatedly to our missionaries, we don't micromanage. So it's yours. And you find the best way forward.
That's what we found too.
Okay.
In Nicaragua, we had church members who they would go to sometimes. Again, like Ivan said, not bringing it to us because we really can't answer the question or respond as we ought. And so, go to the brothers, those that are in the church from that culture, from that country. Mm-hmm. Been very helpful.
Another thing we do is when the board makes a visit, it's in conjunction with one of the two annual retreats that missionaries have in country. And so after the visit, then we give them an evaluation form. How did the retreat go? What about board interaction? Was it too much, too little, and so on, to try to get some feedback that way? Good question. Any others? How long do we have yet, Kevin? 2 minutes for the last burning question. Seeing none, we will have 2 minutes then to stand up, find a partner, and pray for a missionary you know by name for God to pour out his encouragement in his or her life today. So stand up and have at it, and thank you very much for your participation today.
This recording and many others are available through Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. Order online at www.christianlearning.org or call 877-222-4769.